And now the game where we ask people to bring a lifetime of wisdom onto our show just so we can squander it. We call it Not My Job. Peggy Noonan writes about politics, public life, and public lives. She's written 7 books as well as a regular column for the Wall Street Journal and contributions to many other publications. Her writing, of course, is influential, but there was a time when she could reach the ear of the powerful by simply walking down a hall. She was a senior aide and speechwriter to President Ronald Reagan and then presidential candidate George H.W. Bush. Peggy Noonan, welcome to our Halls of Power.
Thanks.
So, Peggy, you've been out of actual politics for some time with interruption here or there. Do you miss it?
No. I sort of feel that I'm close to it. I write about it so much, and I talk so often with people in politics in Washington and outside of Washington. But do I miss being in the White House or working in a White House job? No. It was a fabulous thing. I just loved it. But the kind of job that I had is for youth.
Yes. Well, tell
me. You know, it's for people in their late 20s and early 30s.
Now, of course, you write your column for the Wall Street Journal. You dispense political wisdom. You dispense political advice. You make political judgments. Well, I wanted to ask you, because you had such an experience shaping one administration. Hypothetically, let's say you had a president who was having a little trouble in the polls.
Would he be like at 34%?
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
No. That's very implausible. Let's say 42.
No. Let's say mid-30s. Let's say things just can't keep breaking his way. Let's say there's a war that's not going so well. Let's say his vice president just shot some guy.
Hypothetical.
Maybe a video or two.
Okay, exactly.
Okay.
The red phone on your desk goes off. It's the White House. Peggy Noonan, come save us. What's your advice? What do we do?
Build a time machine.
You know, I'm thinking.
Prevent George from ever meeting Barbara.
If there's some of President Reagan's hair left, Peggy may want to rethink her opinion on cloning.
Oh, guys, you know what you're making me think of? Do you remember the aide to FDR who came to him about 1938 and said, you know, you promised to do this and this and this in your speech in Philadelphia. None of it came out the way we thought it would. None of it got done. None of it was quite satisfied. What should we do? And somebody in the room in the Oval Office said, deny we were in Philadelphia. Guys, what advice would I have?
Yeah.
The biggest and best thing you can do when you are doing your best is to do it in public. Come out and talk to people all the time, very often come to the press, have not just these big formal East Room news conferences, but meet constantly with the press.
I'm going to ask you a serious question. If you think President Bush did that, you really believe that would help him?
It couldn't hurt.
No, well, I mean, I'm actually...
You know what it would do? Bush tries very hard to be a good guy and to think in a simply a common sense way. Would it help the American people to understand him better if they knew he's a good guy and he's trying to think in a common sense way and he's trying to grapple with huge and abstract issues in a common sense way? Yeah, it would help them if they knew that more.
All right. I have another hypothetical for you.
Go ahead.
Let's say you're a member of an opposition party.
Yeah.
Let's say you're completely out of power.
Uh-oh,
let's say...
Man.
You have no message.
You have the presidency or the House or the Senate.
You got none of those things.
None of them.
All right.
You got none of those things. You don't have the office cleaning contract for the Congress. You got nothing.
Because KBR has that.
Okay.
No.
you don't have a message. You don't have a hope of getting a message, and all your leaders can't stand each other, and they can't agree on what time of day it is.
All right.
What the blue phone goes off on your desk. You pick it up. They say, Peggy, help us. Give us a message. What do we do? What do you say?
I say, Hillary, I normally don't talk. But let me tell you what I think.
What do you think?
I start.
Okay.
I say, Hillary, look, what do you stand for? The problem with the Democrats is not that they're out of power. It's not that they've lost a bunch of elections since 1994. It's that nobody knows what they stand for. They seem merely to be about, we got to win. So I think either the Democratic Party as a whole or one or two or three leading Democrats have to figure out in their heads, what do we stand for, and then come forward and say it.
Well, that'll never work. Do you have any other ideas?
All right.
Maybe a good slogan. Do you have a slogan?
How about we get Bush to talk more?
Yeah.
I think that strategy works for both parties.
Well, Peggy Noonan, we are delighted to have you with us. We have invited you here to play a game. We're calling...
You're the sexiest Supreme Court plaintiff since Homer Plessy.
In other words, you are Anna Nicole Smith.
Right.
The former stripper, playboy model, and grieving widow.
Okay, even for Mardi Gras, that's a tough one.
Gotcha.
She took, of course, her fight for her late husband's estate all the way to the Supreme Court this week. We're going to ask you
which took some style.
It did. Yeah. We're going to ask you three questions about her life and career.
All right.
If you get two questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. First, Carl's voice and their home answering machine. And second, half of J. Howard Marshall's $1 billion estate. Now,
that's a
you
good
may
prize.
Say, you may say our listener doesn't deserve half of J. Howard Marshall's estate, but since when is that an issue?
Gotcha.
Now, Carl, who is Peggy Noonan playing for?
Peter, Peggy is playing for Jacob O'Brien of Durham, North Carolina.
All right, ready to go, Peggy?
You got it.
All right, you've been following Ms. Smith's case, I'm sure.
All right.
All right. Now, as is well known, Ms. Smith married J. Howard Marshall when she was a 26-year-old nude model and stripper, and he was an 89-year-old billionaire. What did the newly minted Mrs. Marshall say to her husband the minute the wedding ceremony was over? They come out of the little chapel. She's in her wedding dress. She turns to him. She has to look down because he's in a wheelchair. And she says, was it A, that'll be $3,000, please. B, bye, darling, I'm off to Greece. Or C, I said the till death do us part bit kind of loud, didn't I?
I go with C.
You're going to go with C. She sort of felt sheepish about shouting the till death do us part bit.
Right.
No, it was B. Bye, darling. I'm off to Greece. Mrs. Marshall spent her wedding night thousands of miles away from her new husband doing a photo shoot. And in the company, some scurrilous sources say,
is
of another
true?
Man. It is absolutely true.
All right.
So there you go.
When did hubby figure it out?
That she was not there?
That she wasn't there.
I don't know.
Okay.
That arguably kept him alive a little longer.
All of a sudden, yeah. I'm not in the shade anymore.
Exactly.
It's so sunny again.
It's so sunny again.
All right. You have two more chances here.
All right.
Now, during their 14-month marriage, tragically ended by Mr. Marshall's unforeseen demise.
Who could have seen that coming?
During the marriage, though.
Who could have foreseen? Nobody.
Who?
Who could have foreseen that he would die?
I was worried about her, really.
Yeah. Anyway, during their marriage, he gave her a ranch, a Mercedes, jewelry, other gifts worth about $6 million, all told. For their one Christmas together, she gave him what? Was it A, an electric nose hair trimmer? B, a signed copy of Playboy with herself on the cover? Or C, a racing bicycle?
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B, that she signed a copy of Playboy. Your darling wife. No, it was the nose hair trimmer.
Oh, darn, that was too obvious.
What?
I didn't take that one because it sounded like the right answer.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
Darn.
What do you give an 89-year-old billionaire who has everything?
Including nose hair
on electric nose hair trimmer. So, no, sorry.
Wow.
All right, now you have one more question here. Let's see if you can get this one. And this is one of those topics, by the way, which occasionally comes up in the show, where not knowing, I think, is a brighter mark on you than knowing. So
oh, good.
Take that pride in that. Anna's claim on her late husband's fortune was dealt its most severe blow so far when a Texas jury awarded her absolutely nothing. Their decision might have been swayed by what unwise move she made while on the witness stand. Was it A, she called out to her lawyer, quote, hey, what was that old man's name? B, she wore a T-shirt that said, spoiled. Or C, she brought a Neiman Marcus catalog to leaf through during the boring bits.
I'm going to go with C.
So she's sitting there on the witness stand.
Yeah, and she's going through, leafing through that catalog.
Leafing through Neiman Marcus.
Yes, I'm going to go with that.
You think she's able to read well enough?
I think pictures and a lot of numbers.
All right, pictures, numbers, pictures. It has a lot
God
of pictures.
God bless her.
I can see your reasoning. But no, it was the T-shirt.
Oh.
She wore a T-shirt that said "Spoil."
Oh man!
You may say, "How could anyone be that dumb?"
Well,
yes, you may say that, but which of us has married an 89-year-old billionaire 14 months before he died? Huh? Crazy like a fox.
You know, I imagined her when I saw a picture of her walking into court in a fabulous black suit.
So she obviously learned the lesson of the T-shirt.
Yes, exactly.
Don't appear before the Supreme Court in a shirt that said spoiled.
Yes.
I guess she did.
Anyway,
God bless her.
It was the T-shirt. One member of the jury said after the trial, quote, "That's what she was. She was spoiled, and she knew it, and we knew it." Which is why they awarded her nothing.
Zero. All right.
So, Carl, how did Peggy Noonan do in our quiz?
Well, Peggy had no correct answers, Peter, so no prize for Jacob O'Brien.
Oh, Jacob. Oh. I'm so sorry. I was doing my best. I'm sorry, Jacob.
So her approval rating is what?
Peggy Noonan is a best-selling author and a columnist for the Wall Street Journal as well as many other publications. Peggy, thank you so much for being with us.
Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peggy.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke